The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Friday, July 24th. What to know about new guidelines for getting kids back in classrooms. How federal health officials say it can still happen safely this fall. Also, we'll explain the big change of plans for the Republican National Convention. Plus, airlines are cracking down on this one rule. The former Washington Redskins got an underwhelming new name. And which big milestone is happening this weekend? Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Students, parents, and teachers have a new checklist for back to school in the age of coronavirus. As expected, the CDC released new school guidelines for the fall. They say students should wear masks, and they're telling parents to start practicing with their kids now. They also want schools to encourage students to wash their hands a bunch and keep space between all the kids. For example, schools should come up with ways to spread out desks or use outdoor spaces whenever that's an option. But there's one thing noticeably not listed in the new CDC recommendations: plans for virtual at-home learning. Instead, the CDC lays out many reasons why reopening in person this fall is the right call. The CDC says children don't suffer much from COVID-19, that they're less likely than adults to spread the virus, and that there are long-term consequences to keeping children away from school. The CDC also says schools need to come up with their own plans for controlling outbreaks. But also, if the virus does start spreading uncontrollably, then local officials can consider closing schools. Some teachers' unions and the American Academy of Pediatrics have said they want to hear more about the specifics of this. They also want schools to get more funding from Congress to help put some safety protocols in place. Lawmakers are debating those details now. But remember, a lot of cities, states, and specific school districts have already announced plans for the upcoming start of the school year. Out of the country's 15 largest school districts, 11 have already decided not to have students come back in person full time. Some are starting the school year online only. Others decided on a mix of in-person and virtual classes. So it's different everywhere. And of course, parents and guardians still have to decide what's right for their own kids. So the CDC published a decision-making checklist for families who don't know whether to send children back to school or not. We've posted a link to that checklist and all the detailed CDC guidelines in today's show notes. The nation's top infectious disease expert says it's possible COVID-19 will always be a part of our lives. Dr. Anthony Fauci said the virus will not just disappear, but instead world leaders and public health officials can work to bring the number of COVID-19 cases down to, quote, low levels. So how to do that exactly? Dr. Fauci says there are a few ways to control the virus with some regulations, but the real key is getting the overwhelming majority of the population vaccinated. Then, he says, we can start talking about getting back to normalcy. Remember, there are a few vaccines being tested right now. They're on track to be ready by early 2021. And already the U.S. has put in multi-billion dollar orders to get vaccines from three different companies just in case they work. For now, though, the new coronavirus is not disappearing. It's spreading quickly. COVID-19 cases in the U.S. reached the 4 million mark yesterday, and it's only been about 2 weeks since the U.S. reached 3 million confirmed cases. So people are being diagnosed at a rapid pace. And unfortunately, thousands of Americans are dying from COVID-19 still. California, Florida, and Tennessee reported single-day records in deaths yesterday. Overall, the nation's death toll is more than 144,000 in less than 6 months. A big change of plans for the Republican National Convention. Instead of having a four-night RNC in Florida, it's just going to be a four-hour meeting with a small group of GOP representatives. The convention was supposed to happen in late August in Jacksonville, and tens of thousands of people were expected to attend. President Trump had originally pushed for those crowds and even shifted the event from North Carolina to Florida back in June in the hopes of making that happen. But now he says it's just not the right time to hold a crowded event because of how quickly the coronavirus is spreading. Trump says he'll still give a convention speech, but it's not clear where yet. He also says there are plans for so-called tele-rallies during the week of August 24th. Meanwhile, the Democratic National Convention is still happening 1 week earlier, starting August 17th. That will still be a mostly virtual event. Former Vice President Joe Biden is set to accept the nomination in person in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but all delegates will stay home. Two government watchdogs are now investigating how federal agents have been acting in Portland, Oregon. Remember, the Department of Homeland Security sent agents to Portland to protect monuments and federal property from protesters and rioters. But last week, the agents were accused of using tear gas and other weapons against peaceful protesters and whisking people away in unmarked cars without probable cause. Portland's mayor was also tear gassed when he joined the demonstrations. Well, now the inspectors general, or oversight divisions, from both the Justice Department and Homeland Security Department are looking into those allegations. But President Trump has argued federal officers are necessary in areas dealing with unrest or violent crime. In fact, the New York Times says the feds decided to send another tactical team to nearby Seattle, Washington. There, the team is just supposed to be on standby and intervene if federal property is threatened. But Seattle's mayor told the Times the city does not need their help. To be continued. The former Washington Redskins have a new name, but this one is just temporary. They'll simply be called the Washington Football Team for the time being. This is essentially a stand-in until the team settles on a permanent name and logo. Remember, the team suddenly abandoned the Redskins name earlier this month because it's an offensive term that refers to Native Americans. So now the team is working on rebranding. That said, one thing will stay the same. ESPN reports the team's burgundy and gold colors are sticking around. Another quick note about sports, more of them are coming back to competing. The WNBA is set to return for its abbreviated season tomorrow, and NHL teams all go to their home bases on Sunday, with games starting back up on August 1st. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, this episode is brought to you by Rothy's. In case you haven't heard about Rothy's before, it's a company making stylish, sustainable shoes and bags for life on the go. I have a pair of Rothy's flats, and I love them. I can wear them with everything from jeans to a dress. In fact, I often wear my fun, bright red Rothy's flats just to go for a walk around the block, choosing them over even my tennis shoes for comfort, and I'll look more stylish along the way. And if red isn't your choice, there's an ever-changing array of colors, prints, and patterns in a bunch of different styles. And you can feel great about it, since Rothy's are carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials. There's a reason Vogue calls Rothy's a, quote, personal obsession, and Health Magazine says they're, quote, the most comfortable shoes on earth, and I agree with that. So check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's rothys.com, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy today. Now, back to the news. Major airlines are doubling down on mask requirements. Both American and Southwest Airlines now say everyone over the age of 2 must wear a mask. People can no longer claim medical exemptions. Apparently, the airlines have seen too much of that, and they say it puts their employees and other customers in an uncomfortable spot. Meanwhile, Delta and United Airlines are also clamping down, but they're not being quite as strict. United says passengers with a medical exemption must contact the airline first, and Delta is having them show up early to fill out a clearance to fly form that could take an extra hour. Disney is postponing movie releases again. It was supposed to debut Mulan next month, but the movie was pulled off the schedule and its new release date hasn't been set. Other major blockbusters are getting pushed back too. USA Today reports next year's new Star Wars and Avatar films were delayed until 2022. Of course, the pandemic is behind all of this since the virus forced production shutdowns. By the way, some big-name movie theaters are still closed. For example, the theater chain AMC was supposed to open next week, but Axios reports it's now aiming for mid to late August. We'll see. TikTok is giving U.S. creators $200 million. The company started a fund that compensates creators for using its platform. They just have to meet some requirements. They need to be at least 18 years old, and they have to consistently be posting original content. They also need to have a certain number of followers, although that number has not yet been specified. Still, Engadget reports TikTok will open up the application process next month. This new program comes as TikTok faces a lot of questions about how it and its Chinese parent company handle data. TechCrunch says it seems this promise of payouts is meant to fight that fire in the U.S. Well, this Sunday marks the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's a landmark measure that protects people with disabilities from discrimination in all areas of life, from transportation to employment. Over the last three decades, it's had a profound effect on the millions of Americans living with disabilities. For example, it's the reason buildings have wheelchair-accessible ramps, parking lots have accessible spots, and closed captioning is available across platforms. To learn more and celebrate this 30th anniversary of the ADA, tune in tomorrow for our very first special edition Saturday. I talk with Allie Stroker for this interview. She's the first Broadway star ever who uses a wheelchair. You'll see the episode Saturday morning right here, wherever you listen to podcasts. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. And Feel Good Friday is brought to you by Magic Spoon, the guilt-free cereal that tastes amazing. Magic Spoon has zero sugar and 11 grams of protein in each serving. And all the flavors are great, from fruity and frosted to the limited time peanut butter. Yum. Try a variety pack at magicspoon.com/newsworthy and use the promo code newsworthy for free shipping. All right, so today we're talking about a creative way to feed people in need. Volunteers in Los Angeles, California have started putting refrigerators in public places. They encourage members of the community to stock them. Then anyone who's hungry can come by, open the fridge, and take what they need. NBC LA reports the project started less than 2 weeks ago, and already about half a dozen fridges have been set up across the city. Businesses have even volunteered to provide electricity for them. And it's not just individuals who are dropping off donations. Restaurants and meal delivery services have chipped in too. You can follow the project on Instagram at LA Community Fridge. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for sharing the show to help more people stay informed. And a special thanks to the Newsworthy Insiders for all your support. We appreciate you. Of course, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned at thenewsworthy.com under the episodes tab. And we'll be back tomorrow with the special edition Saturday interview, and then on Monday with your regular news update. Have a great weekend.